from the Star Rental Sports Desk, your sports radio KJR 950 AM and 93.3 FM sports headlines.
All right, kiddos, there we go. Happy Thursday. Headlines on Softy and Dick. Without Dick, he's back on Monday. Brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
Will Smith just smacked the shit out of me.
You're looking for tickets for the Mariners-Astros next Friday at T-Mobile Park for opening day? Well, VenueKings.com can set you up, baby. They can get you in the door for under $30 for opening day next Friday. And be sure and use code Softy at checkout for a discount at VenueKings.com. All right, big news from the world of golf. Tiger Woods, his first round of competitive golf in over 500 days, and despite a leg full of metal, fires an opening round 71, 1 under par. Birdies on the par 3, 6, and 16. Birdie on the par 5, number 13. And Tiger Woods, as of right now, in the clubhouse with a opening round 71. Your leader as of right now, Sung J.M. from South Korea, 5 under par through 15. Cam Smith and Dustin Johnson right behind him at 4 under. All right, Mariners tomorrow against the Twinkies because they got in a retractable roof in Minnesota, so they had to push the game back to today. That's at 1 o'clock. Matt Festa from the M's bullpen will join us in about 8 minutes from now. And we got scores to report. Your first final of the 2022 Major League Baseball season. The Cubs get by the Brewers 5-4. Cardinals blanking the Pirates 4-0. Bottom five from St. Louis. And the Guardians, formerly the Indians, now tied with the Royals 1-1. Top seven from Kansas City. NFL news. You know Brian Flores is suing the NFL for racial discrimination. Today, two more coaches have joined his lawsuit. They are former Arizona Cardinal head coach Steve Wilks and longtime NFL assistant Ray Horton.
And here we go.
And now, two goofy, wacko, out-of-touch homers.
Just brutal radio. Just horrible.
Live. 41 yards.
From Elliott Bay.
Can you feel it now?
This is Softy and Dick.
Yeah, we got Kraken hockey as well, I gotta say. Coming up at 5 o'clock. Face-off, by the way, at 5:30 from Chicago with the Blackhawks. The boys looking to bounce back from a 4-1 loss to the St. Louis Blues. Last night, Dave Haxtell and company.
We have big, long D.
We're going to get back in the win column coming up this evening. Everett, Mikey, David, all on the call tonight. Coming up pregame, 5 o'clock, face-off at 5:30. Mike Benton texting me. I have no idea what this means. I asked him, are you in Northgate tonight at the bar and grill?
Right, 32.
Yeah, and he sends me a GIF, or is it a GIF? What is it?
GIF.
A GIF of Ted Lasso smiling and pointing at me.
So
what does that mean?
Yes.
Is that a yes? I mean, the way people communicate these days, I mean, can you just, is it that hard to say yes or no?
Yes or no.
For crying out
loud?
Well,
it's like the board. It's like the pit of stupidity, right? We just want yes or no's, people.
My God.
Pit of stupidity.
I'm asking the guy a simple freaking question. And I'm assuming the answer is yes because he's not here. It's already 3 o'clock and pregame is at 5 in 2 hours and the guy's not here. So I assume he's up in Northgate. But I've said this before and I'll say it again, man. We are going back to caveman times with the way we communicate, right? I mean, you used to walk into a cave and you see hieroglyphics, Yes. There's a guy holding a fox staring at the sun, whatever, chopping a tree down, eating a bear. I mean, this is people communicated with pictures back in the day, and now we're doing the same freaking thing. You've had conversations with your buddies where all you do is send emojis and GIFs back and forth to each other.
I have an entire thread with my soccer buddies where all we do is send those.
I mean, nobody talks anymore.
No.
Nobody communicates with language and words and speech.
LOL.
Nobody teaches cursive anymore. The art of penmanship has been lost on a whole new generation of people, and I think it's gone forever. What the hell's the point of taking a keyboard class? Did you take typing class when you were in high school?
Not in high school. No, I'm in elementary school.
You did. All right, and did you learn how to write cursive?
I did learn how to write cursive, and it quickly went away. I could not write a cursive word right now.
What is the point of any of that now, when all I have to do is grab my phone and just go voice to text, and I don't even need to know how things are spelled?
We need to have a conversation.
Because my phone will correct it for me.
We do need to have a conversation about voice to text, though, because when are the appropriate places and times to do voice to text, and when are not the appropriate times and places?
Well, I would say if you're in a movie, that's not the right time to do it.
Sure, but more than that.
Hey, we're going to be out of here in an hour or so. Can you please have dinner on the table?
That's not the right time to do that.
Clearly, right. I'm wondering how, because you obviously do voice-to-text a lot more
all
than anybody I have ever met in my entire life.
I do it a lot, but I will give myself credit. I usually, if I see massive amounts of mistakes,
right,
I will go back and correct it.
Okay.
Because sometimes Siri or whatever, you know, app you're using for voice-to-text comes nowhere near close to repeating what you said. It's totally different. Like, the message comes out and means something completely different than what you said. So I do think that if you're going to use voice to text, I know we're kind of way off on a tangent here. If you're going to use voice to text, you have to give yourself an opportunity before you send the text to look at it. Just a quick glance to make sure it makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to know where what's the most public place you've ever done the voice to text?
Oh, I don't, maybe a public restroom? On the can?
That's interesting.
Right?
Okay. I wonder what the people in the stall next to you are
thinking. A couple of guys on the stall to the left and right of me?
That's a little bit odd.
And I'm in there talking to myself.
That's very weird. You should not do that.
Well, you just asked me, and I said, that's it right there. All right, anyway, Matt Festa from the Mariner bullpen is going to join us in about 3 minutes from now. This guy's a hell of a story. Played baseball in Staten Island, born in Brooklyn. He's a New Yorker, and he was on the roster in 2018-2019. His last game was in July of 2019. Actually got let go by the M's the following offseason and then underwent Tommy John surgery, and now he's back. He has not pitched in a major league game since July of 2019, and Matt Festa for the Resta is going to join us coming up in a couple minutes and talk some Mariner baseball. I'm so fired up for tomorrow, guys. We're going to be at the Emerald Queen Casino in their brand new MGM Sportsbook. Tiger, do you think people should join us tomorrow at the MGM Sportsbook?
I do.
Yeah, thank you very much. And it's amazing how many people haven't been there yet, right? Like Kevin Shockey, you know, hasn't even been there since they opened the sports book. I mean, what are you guys doing? It is unbelievable, dude. It's like freaking Las Vegas. Have you been there yet?
I have not been there.
Oh, come on!
I know.
Tiger, you think Jackson should waddle his ass down to Tacoma and get to the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook?
I do.
I mean, you live like 2 minutes away.
I now live there. I will be making trips down there now.
Well, it is sensational. Guys, look, I get it. You know, we there's a lot of hyperbole in this business and on this radio station and out of my mouth, and we oversell a lot of stuff in this business. Trust me when I tell you, you get to the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook. You come hang out with us tomorrow to watch the Mariner game. Get off early. Lie to your boss. Find a way to get out. Get there at 1 o'clock. For every inside the park home run, I'm going to buy a beer for everybody. How's that sound?
Ooh.
Really put myself out there with that one, huh? For every cycle, I'll buy a beer for the entire audience. It's incredible. It's going to blow your freaking socks off. You are not going to believe this place. You actually feel like you're in a Las Vegas sports book and like you're in a Las Vegas casino. If you remember the old Emerald Queen Casino, it looks nothing. I mean nothing like the old one. So tomorrow, 1 o'clock, Mariners Twins. We'll hang around and do our show starting at 3 o'clock tomorrow. But if you can get there, join us tomorrow at the brand new MGM Sportsbook at the Emerald Queen. All right, here we are, continuing in crystal clear FM radio. If you don't know, we've made the switch to 93.3 KJR FM, going to simulcast in the afternoon for another month or so on the AM dial, but change that preset over to 93.3 KJR FM. That is our new home. And speaking of a new home, this guy is back in his old home. He was on the roster in 2018-2019, has not pitched in a Major League Baseball game in almost three freaking years, and now he's back, baby, in a Mariner bullpen, the pride of Brooklyn, New York, and Staten Island. Matt Festa from the M's bullpen is with us on the air. How are you, man?
How you doing? What an intro. That was amazing.
Well, you know what? Well, we got something in common. My dad is from a little place called Flushing, New York. Went to a little school called Queens College, and you know exactly where that is, don't you?
I know. I used to play against them. That was my first college, Dominican College. I used to play against Queens all the time.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, I can still hear the accent. I love it that you got some New York roots, but, you know, I'm fired up for you, dude. Everybody's talking about what it was like for Julio Rodriguez to get the phone call that he had made their Major League roster, and it was great, right? I mean, Julio's going to be awesome. He's got a great personality. Can't wait to watch him play. But what was it like for you, man, when you found out that you had made the opening day roster, you were going to be on a big league roster for the first time in 3 years? What was that moment like for you?
Oh, it's so special. I mean, nothing's like the first time, you know, the debut, you get to call your parents, you know, little tears and stuff and happy moments. But this one just felt like all the hard work is that I put in over the past 2 years with after the Tommy John surgery, it's kind of coming to fruition. And yeah. I just feel so grateful for a second chance with the Mariners. And I'm excited to be a part of this team after watching what they did. It's a completely different, you know, clubhouse, and I'm excited to just be a part of it and do my job.
Yeah, Matt, I want to go back to that in a second, because I had written down on my little notes here, I want to ask you about how the clubhouse has changed in the past 3 years, but was there a point in maybe 2020 when you had TJ that you didn't know for sure if this was going to happen again for you?
Honestly, I never had a doubt. I knew, you know, it's going to be a harder road than it would have been if I had stayed on that roster, but, you know, getting DFA'd and going home during the pandemic and kind of doing the whole rehab. I did the whole Tommy John surgery rehab by myself in my basement. I built a gym. Wow. You know, there wasn't a lot of people to help me out with my rehab. I was lucky enough to get into contact with some good PTs, but that was kind of just over the phone stuff, no one-on-one stuff. So I basically rehabbed myself until I got back to the Mariners in 2021.
Wow. Well, you got to be...
I never had a doubt.
Yeah.
I never had a doubt.
You got to be disciplined as hell to pull something like that off. I mean, I have not heard that from a lot of guys that they went through Tommy John surgery and had to rehab themselves, and you're saying that you built your own rehab facility?
I built a small little gym in my basement. You know how that went during COVID. Everyone's picking up those gym equipments, and you know, I built myself a little weight rack in the basement, got some bands, got some dumbbells, and I just went to work. You know, I followed the program that was given to me, but there was no eyes on me except for just me and myself in that basement. So it was quite the experience and the journey.
No, that's awesome, man. Good for you. That's a hell of a story. Well, Matt Festa's with us, and a lot of guys, as you know, man, they get Tommy John surgery, and they're better for it, right? Their arms feel better. They throw better. Some guys even throw faster. There's been a lot of guys that have had Tommy John surgery, and their careers actually have benefited from that. Do you feel different? Do you feel even maybe like you're a different pitcher, a better pitcher than you were before the surgery?
I mean, now on the head, 100%. I feel like a completely different beast. It gave me some time to figure some things out in the rest of my body. And, you know, they put new treads on the tires. My elbow feels good. I was able to, you know, gain a couple more miles an hour with my fastball, develop my slider into a really good swing and miss pitch to really help out, you know, just the bullpen in the general, just to try and become a late inning guy, swing guy, whatever it is, whatever my role is, I change myself so that I can be a little more flexible.
I love it. Matt Festa is with us, and I mean, look, man, on paper, this rotation and this bullpen looks stacked, right? I mean, the arms are unbelievable. I'm watching Matty Brash with his slider and how, you know, impactful he could be, and we all know the stuff that Logan Gilbert's got, and then he had the damn reigning American League Cy Young Award winner. For lack of a better question, how much confidence does this pitching staff have right now?
This team has confidence from number one through number five and through number one through number nine, that lineup, and even on the bench. Like, it is a different team. I got to see it from the outside as a fan watching, but to sit in this clubhouse during spring training and see these guys and, like, how tight they are, it's really cool, and I feel so grateful to, you know, grow and be a part of this team. This team is different. I'm excited.
Well, besides the obvious, which is the faces, right? I mean, 2019, a lot of faces that aren't here anymore, right? Kyle Seager among them, guys like that. How has the clubhouse, maybe from an atmosphere perspective, maybe from a tone perspective, how have things changed? How do they look different in the last 3 years from your perspective?
It's definitely a younger clubhouse. I think a lot of guys can kind of lean on each other now, a little more you can look at each other as more peers. There's not that big veteran presence, although we do have some guys with a lot of years and a lot of experience, which is great, like a Romo and a Robbie Ray and, you know, Sergio, I mean, and Eugenio.
Yep.
But it's a younger clubhouse, and it's a little looser. It's a little fun. You know, we got a little bit of an attitude. We got some exciting guys. It's fun to be a part of this team.
Well, Matt Festa is with us. And by the way, speaking of Eugenio, I've heard that we can get away with calling him Gino. Is that accurate?
Gino. You call him Gino. Gino.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that's
good.
Easy. It sounds like a pizzeria owner.
Oh, I'm so with you. Now, by the way, now I'm starving for pizza because I'm already talking to a freaking New Yorker. I'm thinking about some of my favorite pizza places in the New York area. And now you mentioned pizza. Now I'm freaking starving. I'm not off the air for two hours. So thanks a lot. But Matt Festa is with us. What about these young guys? I mean, you know, put your kind of sports talk radio hat on, put your reporter hat on for a minute. What do you see from a kid like Matt Brash? Give me a thought on him, because we see all the video, we see the highlights, we see him in spring training, but we haven't seen him throw in a major league game yet, and that will happen next week. What's your scouting report on this guy?
Brash he's electric. That is the word that's going to be thrown around in most of these headlines. You know, he's got the ability that you don't really see too often with a kid his age, and I think he's got the opportunity to become a lot of kids' favorite pitchers. You know, he's going to become everyone's favorite pitcher if he can, you know, put together the year he wants to put together. And I have the utmost confidence in that kid. He's fun to be around. He seems kind of, you know, that quiet Canadian kid, but he's got a full head of steam with him when he's on that mound.
Matt Festa's with us. He's made the Mariner roster. He'll be in the bullpen tomorrow against Minnesota. What Matt, does Robbie Ray bring to this baseball team, and how long did it take you to get used to his grunting?
You never get used to it. You almost kind of mess with him. Like, you know, you're on the line, and you start hearing random grunts. Everyone's kind of joking around. But Robbie just brings experience, confidence, a lot of calmness. He kind of makes it look easy, you know, and he keeps it simple. That's his biggest thing, is he keeps it very simple, and you can kind of take his mentality of approaching hitters and, you know, put that into the way you attack hitters. You can learn from that. His mentality is a great way to focus and move forward for the year.
Yeah. What about Julio? Give us a thought on what's it been like to be around him. We've had him on the air and he's fantastic to talk to, but again, a lot of folks haven't seen him play in person. What's he been like as a teammate and inside that clubhouse?
He's all smiles. He's all fun. He's always dancing, playing music. He's good vibes. And he is, you know, he's a superstar in the making. You know, we'll see what's going to happen. He's got the opportunity laid in front of him. He's got so much talent. I'm grateful that he's on my team and now I don't got to face him. That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, we're all fired up for you. And again, like we said at the open, there's been a lot of people jacked up for Julio Rodriguez, and we've heard a lot about the phone call that he got, or the news he got from Scott Servais, but I can only imagine what that was like for you when you got the call, when you found out that you were on the Major League roster. How did you find out, by the way? Tell that story if you can.
For me, it was the last day of camp, so it was down to the wire. You know, I was kind of at peace with whichever way I was going to go, start the year in AAA or start the year open day roster. You know, I'm confident enough in myself, my ability.
Yeah.
So whatever the Mariners decided, the way they wanted my season to start, I was happy with it. But he called me in and told me that, you know, I made the team, and I just felt like a breath of relief. You know, you're kind of nervous. You don't really know if it's going to happen. It was just exciting. I don't have much words to describe it, because I felt like I belonged, you know, in the big leagues. So this feels right.
I love it. I love it, man. Well, listen, I'm happy for you. I'm fired up for you. Can't wait to see what you guys can do starting tomorrow in Minnesota. The whole freaking town is ready for you guys to go out and kick ass for the next 7 months. So go do it. Have fun in Minneapolis, and we'll see when you get back home next weekend, pal. Thanks, Matt.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Matt Festa, who has made the Mariner bullpen, underwent Tommy John surgery in 2020 and hasn't pitched in a damn baseball game in the major leagues since July of 2019. And boom, here he is, and he's back. Mike Holmgren's going to join us at 4:05 today. I sent him video on three quarterbacks to watch: Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis, and Desmond Ridder. Did he watch all three, you think? And what does he make of those guys as a fit in Seattle? At 4:05, let's get to Augusta and check the Masters right now with Westwood One.
Seattle sports leader and crystal clear stereo. Switch the stream from 950 KJR to the 93.3 stream on the iHeartRadio app. We make the switch on Monday, and we apologize for messing with your routine. Now, back to Softy and Dick.
Well, really, it's a hashtag was born here on this radio station, Switch the Stream, hashtag Switch the Stream, which, you know, is, I don't know, it's a little weird, but... You get
alliteration.
Yeah. Switch the stream from AM to FM radio. You know, change your presets on your car where you've had 950 AM forever. I want you to switch it right now. Let's all do this together. All right. Let's in a group. It's easier to do things in a group, right? Never walk alone. All right. Switch the stream here with us right now. Everybody on the count of three. All right. If you're driving, just wait till you pull over. But everybody on the count of three. Look at your preset where it says 9:50 a.m. I want you to switch it over to 93.3 FM right now. You ready? 3, 2, 1. Boom! Everybody doing it together. We're all holding hands. We're all doing it as a group, and we're taking this journey together to the FM world. So we're making the switch on Monday, baby. Chuck, Buck, Puckett, Jimmy, Ian, Kevin, they're all making the switch from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. exclusively to FM radio. Don't you come crying to me, man. If you come to this radio station on Monday and you can't hear Chuck and Buck on AM radio because they're on FM, I don't know how many times we have to say the same thing over and over and over. Over again. I'm getting tired of it. Over and over again, like freaking Lou Piniella. Okay, so make the switch to 93.3 FM. And really, we want you to make the switch over to 93.3 KJR FM because I'm getting sick and tired of my bosses telling me to keep hammering it on the air. We cannot say it enough. It doesn't hurt us to say it over and over again. I'm getting emails. I'm getting texts. I'm getting voicemails. I got Rich Moore throwing the freaking door open like a wild man, throwing his arms in the air. You're killing me. We can't say it enough. You people think you're getting tired of it? What about me? What about us who are getting yelled at every day by our stinking bosses? So please, for the love of God, do us a favor and make the switch from 9:50 a.m. to 93.3 KJR FM. Again, Dick and I, starting Monday, will hang out for an extra month on the AM dial as well as the FM dial and simulcast for one more month. But everybody else on the radio station is making the switch over to FM radio starting on Monday. All right, so I got a question for the Peanut Gallery on the text line, the Tullamore Dew text line. When it's game time, it's tele time, baby. Do you like Tiger Woods? Are you pulling for Tiger Woods? Because I still get that reaction that you just gave me from a lot of people. Meaning, you don't know yet. You don't know if you feel comfortable rooting for him based on all the indiscretions from back in the day. And, you know, we haven't read about a lot of stuff like this. The day his wife went after him and he crashed his car into a telephone pole and all that. That seems like forever ago. And I don't know how many years ago that was. Was that 7, 8, 9 years ago now? I don't remember when that was.
I was going to say like a decade plus.
Yeah, find that out because it feels like it's been a long time, right? Like I'm starting to kind of lose track of time, to be honest with you. Things that feel like they happened yesterday actually took place like 20 years ago. I don't know if that's a senior moment thing, if everybody else has that same phenomenon happen to them. But it feels like the Tiger thing when he first kind of went down that road was a long time ago.
2009.
13 years. Freaking years ago. And he's been trying to repair his image ever since for 13 years. Yep. So is he done? Has he done enough? Right? He had to walk away from golf. He lost his wife, obviously, got divorced, lost a buttload of money. Lost a lot of sponsorships, endorsements, things like that. Had to walk away from the game and totally repair himself. He went through, I think, sex addiction therapy, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Back in the day, a very embarrassing thing for someone to have to talk about in public, and he did it. I mean, this is not like a guy that went through drug rehab. The guy went to sex rehab, for God's sakes. I can't imagine anything more embarrassing for a man than to have to admit to the public that you're going through a sex addiction rehab center, right? I mean, that's awful for a guy to have to admit that. And he admitted all that stuff, went through it all. But there are still people out there that either A, can't root for him, and I know people that feel like that, or still have kind of the same reaction that you just did where you just don't really know?
And I think there's two points here. And I think he has come back from everything because he has done a whole bunch to, I think, to repair his image. And some people simply will never get over that, and that's fine. I think he has come back from that. I don't know if I'm rooting for him just because for me, as kind of like a fringe golf fan who just kind of watches the big tournaments, watches the Big Four, and watches the Masters, I like seeing different people win. I love when Matsuyama won last year and that whole story behind that. I like seeing those interesting stories and those, you know, underdogs and the little-known players rising up and winning. Right. That's what I like out of these.
Well, and that's great, and that's awesome. I mean, Sung J.M. is leading the Masters right now, and that's very cool. But again, the biggest reason why people are tuning in right now is to watch Tiger Woods play. Yeah. And you want to see greatness. You want to see Tiger Woods go after Jack Nicklaus. You want to see Tiger Woods win another Masters. And what he did in 2019 was unbelievable. But if he does it again this weekend, 500 days since the car accident, which was horrific to see those pictures, obviously, and, you know, coming out of California. And then obviously he's going out there, he's hobbling, he's got a, you know, leg full of metal, for crying out loud. The guy is having a hard time walking. If he wins it this weekend, I think a lot of people would just be, you know, blown away, and that would even top what happened 3 years ago. But I don't know. I mean, look, I get it that people can't find it in their hearts to root for the guy. Maybe people used to root for the guy and they can't root for the guy any longer. I am rooting for the guy because I think he is an unbelievable player. I think he's the most impactful and influential athlete of my lifetime, and that includes Michael Jordan, that includes a guy like Muhammad Ali, that includes a guy like Wayne Gretzky, and that includes a guy like LeBron James. I don't think anybody has done more for their sport than what Tiger Woods has done for the game of golf. When I was a kid, I'd be motivated to go shoot buckets in my front yard after watching Michael Jordan play basketball. Tiger Woods does the same thing for me when it comes to golf. I watch Tiger Woods play golf, and I want to pick up my sticks, and I want to go out and play. Yeah. I want to hit the driving range. How many ranges have opened up? How many golf courses have opened up because of the influence that Tiger Woods has had on the game of golf? And because of the influence that Tiger Woods has had on the game of golf, how many people are playing golf and how many friends have you made because you play golf? Honestly, I mean, I've got so many buddies of mine that I met through the game of golf. It's unbelievable how many friends I would not have if not for a guy like Tiger Woods that motivated me to pick up some sticks about 15 years ago and start playing. So I'm thankful for what the guy has done. And I think it's amazing what he's done. And to keep fighting through all this, the guy's got more money than God. He could have walked away from the game. He could have put his head in the sand and said, I'm finished in 2009. I don't need to do any more. I've already won, you know, a buttload of majors. What more do I have to do? I'm the greatest or the second greatest golfer of all time behind Jack Nicklaus. But the guy decided to fight through it and fight through his demons and embrace the haters, if you will, and expose himself to a lot of criticism and put himself out there for conversation about his history and his background. And I respect that. I mean, we root for guys that go through drug addictions all the time. And I know a lot of people out there will say something like, yeah, well, but that doesn't hurt other people the way the sex addiction thing did. You're wrong about that. Because people that go through drug addictions harm a lot of people around them, a lot of family members, a lot of friends. People die because people are going through drug addictions. Yet here we are, you know, pulling for people, and I think rightfully so. Anybody who's faced a demon like that and finds a way to overcome it, I think should be celebrated because there's a lot of people like him that aren't getting the same kind of accolades that Tiger Woods is getting. So I love the guy. I'm sorry. I mean, I was up this morning watching him tee off at 7:30, and it turned out to be 8:05 or whatever it was when it was all said and done. But I'm pulling for the guy like mad, and I can't wait to watch every second of this guy's round tomorrow and every second, hopefully, of his weekend on Saturday and Sunday on CBS. So you tell us if you're pulling for Tiger. Trying to come up with a different question besides, do you like the guy? But I think really in the end, that's what it comes down to. 49451. Brett Boone, by the way, will join us at 4:30 today on the radio show. Does he think this is the year, simply put, that the Mariners find themselves back in the playoffs? 4:30, coming up in about 40 minutes right here on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM.
Set your preset and switch to 93.3 FM on your radio. It all changes on Monday. Softy and Dick are taking a little longer to make the move, but if you want Chuck and Buck, Buck and Jim, or Ian Furness, you'll find them on the FM dial. Now, back to Softy and Dick.
All right, my buddy Dave over at Boar's Head just keeps bugging me over and over and over and over and over again. He actually knocked on my door at 11 o'clock last night.
Wow, that's late.
Hey, man, I got all these Easter hams. Would your audience want one? You want an Easter ham?
Yes.
You want one?
Yes.
Well, here's the deal. So the Boar's Head Sweet Sliced Ham Gift Box is an effortless centerpiece to any holiday or family meal. Just glaze, heat, and serve. Boar's Head sweet sliced smoked uncured ham and brown sugar and spice ham glaze are the perfect balance of sweet and savory. I am so good at delivering
my
that.
Mouth is watering
because now
so
you want
much.
To run to the store and buy yourself a Boar's Head ham, right? Well, here's the deal. I told Dave, I said, if I give these things away, will you leave me the hell alone? He said, yes. So he's got 10 of them. So if you want one for Easter, all right, he's got 10 of these ham gift boxes to give us. And I said, just give it to the audience, man. Give the people what they want, which is free stuff. So we got 10 of these hams to give away, courtesy of our friends over at Boar's Head. If you want one, we'll make it easy. We'll reward the people that have been listening to the radio show. Who was our 4:30 guest today? Easy. Text in right now to 49451. I want the name of our 4:30 guest and the word Boar's Head. Can you do that?
Yeah.
The 4:30 guest.
And where you live.
And the word Boar's Head and where you live. All right? Now we're making this really hard.
I know.
So the 4:30 guest name, Boar's Head, and the city you're from to 49451 right now to the Tullamore Dew text line. And we'll grab 10 of them and we'll give you a ham for Easter, courtesy of my pal Dave over at Boar's Head. Available at select Washington area supermarkets. And did I mention it was paired with a glaze of vibrant mustard, brown sugar, sweet pineapple juice, and carefully selected spices? 49451. Boar's Head, the name of our 4:30 guest and the city you're from, to 49451 right now. Lots of texts coming in to 49451, by the way, about the Tiger Woods conversation. 206, no, I don't like Tiger Woods. 253, love Tiger Woods. 206, go Tiger. 206, Jack's record will never be broken if Tiger doesn't do it, and I agree with that. 425, watching Tiger play golf with his son did it for me, totally rooting for him. Neil in the 253 says, rooting for Tiger, he got me involved with golf. And the 206, David, don't make, and that's me, I guess, David. By the way, when somebody addresses a text and starts it with David, you know I'm about to get yelled at.
Yep.
David, don't make Tiger Woods sound like a victim. As an adult, the choice was his. Tiger's ex-wife and his son are the victims. And Tiger also has a daughter, by the way, in case you know. And that's fine. Hey, I totally get that, right? Like, I actually just got off the phone during a break with a phone call with my wife, who's on the way to do some stuff, and she's listening in Crystal Clear FM radio as well. She thought Matt Festa had a great delivery, and she's rooting for him. She's not a Tiger Woods fan, and I totally understand that. You know, I get why a lot of people like this person from the 206 would not be rooting for Tiger, and I completely agree with that statement that he's not a victim, and the choice was his to do everything that he did. I guess my question would be this. Why do we, and maybe the bigger the name, the more the opinions come out. Like, Josh Gordon is a good player, but he's not anywhere near Tiger Woods' level right. of an athlete, right? Obviously. Josh Gordon has been a gigantic bust for the majority of his career, if not the entirety of his career. Nobody's talking about whether or not Josh Gordon belongs in the freaking Hall of Fame. So we're not comparing apples to apples here. I totally understand that. But we tend to, I think, maybe look at people like Josh Gordon and others that go through drug addictions, maybe with a little bit of a different light, if you will, than how we look at a guy like Tiger Woods. And maybe it's because of the way this stuff sometimes gets portrayed in the media. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe it's because the spotlight is brighter on a guy like Tiger because of his accomplishments. I have no idea. But I'm not here, and I'm never here, to tell people how they should feel.
Yep.
Ever. Ever. All I'm doing is sharing my opinion and my thought on the matter. And I have moved on from what he went through 13 years ago now. I see a guy that is a great ambassador for the game of golf. I see a guy that's beloved by his peers and respected by his peers and beloved by the fans, and I cannot wait to watch this guy play this weekend. That's it. 354. Mike Holmgren is going to join us. I sent him video on Desmond Ridder, Malik Willis, and Kenny Pickett. Has he seen all the video that we sent? Has he done his homework? And if so, does he see a guy, at least among those three, that he would like to be playing quarterback for the Seahawks next year? We'll talk to Coach Holmgren next on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM.